Thank you, Karen, for your music. It's nice to be able to see you and hear your piano music recorded. To me, that means a lot that we can see you in action. So thank you. Good morning, everyone. It's good to be together. I trust that you're safe and healthy and taking good care of yourselves. We're going to start with a few announcements this morning from Bill and myself. I want to let people know that Paul David Heiser has moved back to his apartment at Marquee, and we will send out an email with his address and phone number again that others can reach out to him and connect with him. So that's good news. He's feeling like he's back home and can sit by the window and enjoy some quiet in his apartment. Bill, I'll let you go.
Hi, everybody. I'm not Bill, but I'm going to speak for Bill for a moment. If you have your bulletin, if you've downloaded it, you'll see that there's a bit in there about domestic violence this week. As I work for an organization, a ministry that works very directly with people who have been involved in domestic violence on both sides. And I just wanted to let you know that unfortunately stats in the faith community are the same, which is sad, as they are outside the faith community. So when you have a pew of 10 people sitting in our church, you can pretty much assume that 3 to 4 of them have been affected by abuse in their life and need some healing from that. So I just wanted to encourage you, if you feel at all for the cause, to join us for the virtual Stomp Out Abuse. The information's in your bulletin. We would love to have you. And I think it has a picture of us and our t-shirts too. So you can join us on that. And I just wanted to thank you all for your support. We appreciate it very much.
Also, last Sunday, we had our cinnamon roll pickup, and there were 58 families that participated in that. We're going to have a short video of that event in our worship service this morning. So thank you to our bakers and for those who stopped by and followed our social distancing procedure. Also for those who picked up cinnamon rolls for others. So it was great to see you and be able to interact with you in spite of our 6 feet away from each other. I'm going to lead us in a call to worship that is taken from John 14, verses 15 to 21. And this will be a responsive reading. So I will say a few words, and then I would like for you to say these words. Our lives, O Lord, are in your hand. Hold us up that we might stand. God, our holy parent who watches over us with love and deep compassion. Our lives, O Lord, are in your hand. Hold us up that we might stand. Jesus, our brother and pioneer of faith, leads us by truth in word and deed. Our lives, O Lord, are in your hand. Hold us up that we might stand. The Holy Spirit, our advocate, guide, and constant companion, breathes with us day and night. Our lives, O Lord, are in your hand. Hold us up that we might stand. The community of the faithful exists beyond time and space. The word of hope moves into the past and marches forward into the future, carrying us through life, guiding our footsteps. Our lives, O Lord, are in your hand. Hold us up that we might stand. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, the Lord keeps me safe. He stretches forth his hand against my enemies. His right hand shall save me. Our lives, O Lord, are in your hand. Hold us up that we might stand. The Lord will make good his purpose for me. His love endures forever. He will not abandon the work of our hands. Our lives, O Lord, are in our hand. Hold us up that we might stand. Would you pray with me? God, you come to us in unexpected places where we are in isolation, behind closed doors, on dusty roads as we go from place to place, in video chats with friends and telephone conversations with loved ones. You come bringing us peace. You come bringing us hope. You come bringing us courage when we are afraid. Come and be among us now, in every place where we are. Open our eyes to see you. Open our hearts to worship you and know you. In the name of the risen Christ, we pray. Amen.
Oh, come on, come on, come on. everybody get ready to sing a song with Jana about joy.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. If you want joy, you must clap for it. If you want joy, you must clap. With laughter, ha 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 ha. He fills my mouth with laughter, ha 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 ha. He fills my mouth with laughter, ha 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 ha. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. He gives me living water and I thirst no more. He gives me living water and I thirst no more. He gives me living water and I thirst no more. Let's just end with singing ha 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 ha. I can't hear you. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Good morning, everyone. Good to have you here this morning. Welcome to Zoom and Zionite Church's service this morning. We're glad you're with us. Some churches have experienced some difficulty today with some of the Zoom platform, but it's fortunately, it looks like things are going well for us here this morning. If for some reason, if I cut out in the middle of the sermon, somebody else just has to step in, all right? That's the technology.
Hey, Bill, so. Real quick. It sounds like you're getting a lot of, like, mic feedback or something. Is there anything on your end that would be bumping against the microphone or something?
How about, does that make a difference?
Boy. Sounds a lot better to me. Yeah, I think so.
Is that better?
Yeah, much better.
Test, test, 1, 2, how are we doing?
Yes, awesome.
That's,
thank you.
Yes, that's better.
Okay, I'm not sure what I did, but I'm glad it's better. Well, the text this morning is from Philippians. We're in the book of Philippians. We're doing a series. And how's the sound? Still not happening? All right, hold on.
I tried shutting off your video. Let's see if that makes the sound a little bit better.
We were having some difficulty here with sound as well when we were listening.
I think the video might have done it. I think it's sounding a little bit better on my end now.
So you're good without the video? All right. So you're just going to see a picture of me. And I'm still here. All right. Good. So sorry about that. That's some of the technological challenges that we're facing right now. So we'll do the best we can with what we have. So if you do want to see me this morning, Julie has me on Facebook Live. I don't know what that means, but that's where you can find me if you do want to see me. That seems to be working well over there. So I'm going to read, again, we're in this series of Philippians. We're going to continue in that this morning and focusing in this morning more on this understanding of what God's calling us to in our lives as we live together in community and family. So Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 12 and going to verse 18. Therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. This morning I say grace and peace to you. I have the gifts, but you can't see them because the video is shut off, but they are behind me on the bookshelf. Just a reminder, Paul's emphasis and continuing to talk about the fact that God has given us, through Jesus, grace and peace, and that we can experience that grace and peace in our lives at all times and in all ways, even in the midst of some of the challenges that we might face in life. Many of us now, concerned about the virus, concerned about what it looks like to begin to open up our communities again, what it might look like for churches to open up. But in all of that, God's grace and peace is present in our lives, and we are grateful and thankful for that. This morning, thinking about process, Paul is calling his readers and us today, as we look in this text, to step out in our lives, and he says to just continue in obedience always, whether he's with us or not. So that understanding that God is looking forward to us walking with him in obedience in a way that expresses our faith. So working out our salvation. What is Paul talking about when he says work out your salvation? Salvation, Paul says elsewhere, is a gift, something that God has given to us. There's nothing I can do to earn that. It is indeed a gift. So Paul isn't saying work for your salvation, but he is saying work out your salvation. So I have a story for you. I remember being in Bible college, and I'd been fairly active prior to college, physically active in my job. I was both grew up on a dairy farm, which, if you know anything about farming, takes a lot of physical work. I also had been in the field of construction, and then suddenly I was in college, which meant sitting in classes and not quite as physically engaging. So part of being a college student was having free access to the gym and weight room. And so I stepped into the weight room one evening, and they had free weights there. And I don't know if anybody has ever used free weights, but there they were. And I thought, well, that'd be good. I'll start with some free weights and get into the working out mode and try and get some exercise and some physical activity. Now, there was a variety of sizes of weights. There was probably like a 2-pound free weight and a 5-pound and a 10-pound, maybe even a 15 or a 20. But, you know, I had experience, and I figured physically active, not experienced in free weights, but, you know, I thought, I'll go for the 25-pounders. I'll take one 25-pound in each hand and begin to work out. And so I started working out and really doing curls and all kinds of things that you do with free weights, kind of watching others in the gym to see how they do this because I didn't want to look like a fool. And so I worked out with my 25 in each hand, worked out, and at the end of that evening, I was pretty tired, went home, went to bed, and felt like I had really, you know, worked out. And some of you might know where I'm headed here, because the next day I felt kind of tired, but not too bad. But the next night, I woke up in the middle of the night and I was in so much pain. My muscles were just screaming at me because I went right into working out with free weights with a weight that was way too heavy for me to be doing. And what I didn't take into consideration, or maybe didn't even know, wasn't knowledgeable enough, was that there's a process to follow to do a proper workout with free weights. And without me having experience or knowledge, I just went full bore into it and paid for that later. And that pain came from a lack of process or a lack of understanding the process. and working out our salvation, Paul's encouraging us to think about how we go about that in a way that represents grace and peace working in our lives with a joy perspective. Paul emphasizing joy throughout this book, but to think about how do I work out my salvation with this joy perspective and recognizing the need for the appropriate process as I am working out my salvation. So as I look at this text this morning, I want to draw out three characteristics that I feel are very important in regards to understanding, working out this salvation, walking in obedience with a joy perspective. First, in verse 12, what I see here are characteristics. You cannot work out what you have not worked in. When Paul is saying work out your salvation, he's talking about how we work out that which is already worked in through salvation, recognizing that gift. Not something that we're doing to gain salvation, but because we have salvation, it changes the way we look at our priorities. It changes the way we look at our work, the way we look at life. In James, the book of James, chapter 1, verse 18, James says, "Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by what I do." So there seems to be the call on our lives to always be taking that which we have worked into our lives through faith, through grace, through peace, and be working that out in how we go about our lives, what we do with that faith. Again, salvation not being something that we earn, but because we've been given that gift, then that changes how we prioritize our lives, what is important to us. And that's that working it out. So you cannot work out what you have not worked in. So that working out of our salvation, that continual journey. And what Paul is telling us here, I see too in verse 12, this continuing to work. It's an ongoing process. And so to think about what is it that God has taught me in the past and how can I engage that in what God is teaching me now and also into the future. And Paul gives us the attitude in which we are to work this out because he says to continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, what does he mean by fear? Because I thought we're not supposed to fear. So the understanding here in the context is the fear and trembling, I think, that Paul's conveying to us is the attitude of respect and then taking that position of humility. Remember last week, we looked earlier in chapter 2 at that text talking about Jesus and Jesus pouring himself out, taking on that appearance of a person. So that took that humility piece. So again, that attitude of humility, to work it out with fear and trembling. It's not that we need to be fearful of God, but it's more of that respect. I am respecting that which God has called me to. And recognizing God in us to do that which God has called us to do. It's God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. And that work that we see in verse 13, and it also is the same work, same word is used in verse 12, is about energy. It's about how you and I are given energy to do that which God calls us to work or to do or to live. And when we think about that energy, what we see here is that energy is fulfilling the purposes of God as it is worked out in and through us. Now, there are times, more than likely, that we do not recognize, do not accept that which God is calling us to. And so it's not a matter of us being forced to do what God wants us to do, but it is a matter of recognizing God's call on us, what God wants us to do, and then our choice, our desire to step in to do that work which God calls us to do. And that then that energy is coming, that inspiration, that desire is coming from God. And that's a way that I see God working in us all that he has worked in us, where we continue then to work out, to be able to do that which he calls us to, and to be doing that with the energy that comes from God. So, characteristics. Number one, you cannot work out what you haven't worked in. And number two, that attitude of respect, of humility, and recognizing that God is in work, is at work in us, and we're working that out in the things that we do. And then verse 14 says, do everything without grumbling and arguing. Well, how are we doing on that? It says everything. Does that mean Sunday morning Zoom sessions that don't always go the way we want? Can I grumble just a little bit about that? Because the verse says, do everything without grumbling or arguing. The connotation there, the context would be the complaining or the murmuring, or I'll do this, but under my breath, I'm grumbling away, or I'm not happy about it. In James, in the book of James, he asked this question, what causes fights and quarrels among you? And then, you know, there's a long list that we can come up with of things that can cause fights and quarrels among us, whether that's in our families or in our workplaces or in our churches. But Paul says, do everything without grumbling or arguing. I've been doing some looking into history at Zion Mennonite Church as part of our interim process, and some of you will remember John Lederach as your pastor in the 50s and 60s. How many, hold up your hands if you remember John Lederach. I can see a few of you holding up your hands. One of the interesting things I came across is John and Naomi's family did a celebration for them for their 60th wedding anniversary. And their son, John Paul Lederach, put together a short little video clip of memories from Whiskey Hill and being a part of Zion. If you all haven't seen that video, that's a fun little video to watch. And it expresses a little bit of John and Naomi's son, John Paul Lederach, his humor and his humorous side. John Paul went on in his life to really impact the world, really, in an understanding of conflict transformation. And he's done some great work, and I have read some of the books that he's written and really encouraged by the work that he's done. And it's in that vein of humor that John Paul had. And I didn't know John, and I think John, Father John, probably had a little bit of this in him too. But John Paul wrote a book entitled The Journey Toward Reconciliation. And that would be a great book for you to read if you haven't read it. Very helpful insight. But in that book, he lists, and again, sensing his humor, he lists the unspoken 10 commandments of conflict in the Mennonite church. And I want to read these for us this morning. And I read these because verse 14 in Philippians 2 says, do everything without grumbling and arguing. And sometimes I think, I was going to say as Mennonites, but it's not limited to Mennonites. We read that kind of verse and we think, okay, that means anything I disagree with another person, I just can't say anything. I'll just stuff that down. I'll take it. It'll be the mature Christian thing to do and not disagree with the other. And Paul isn't saying don't disagree with one another, but he is saying don't grumble and argue. So there seems to be some kind of tension exists there between doing that which God calls us to, working out our salvation, engaging one another in disagreements, but not grumbling and arguing. So John Paul Lederach maybe touches on this a bit too in these unspoken 10 commandments of conflict in the Mennonite church. So listen as I read this. Number one, he writes, thou shalt be nice. Always be nice. Yea, I say unto thee, niceness is the essence of Christianity. Number two, thou shalt not confront each other in public. Confrontation is nasty and unmanageable. If ever in doubt about confrontation, refer to commandment number one. Number three, should thou ever have the distasteful experience of confrontation, thou shalt not listen to thine enemy, but thou shalt prepare thy defense while the enemy is still speaking. Yea, I say unto thee, listening raises questions that weaken thy defense and may lead to compromise, impurity, and heaven forbid, self-reflection. It is dangerous to change thy mind or admit that thou went wrong. Truth is unchangeable. Number 4. Speak not with contentious folks who disagree with thee or who have raised thy righteous anger. Thou shalt seek out and talk to others about them. Yea, more, dear brothers and sisters, speak only with nice people who agree with thee. By speaking only with those with whom you dost agree, thou wilt experience the true support of community. Number 5, remember that thou art of noble and decent character, even a pacifist, and thou shalt not show thine emotions in public. Number 6, men, be rational. Do not show weakness through emotions like crying or anger. It is better for thee to disengage from a situation of conflict and remain silent than rather to show uncontrolled emotion. Number 7, women, thou shalt not defend thyself vigorously nor nag incessantly, or they may call thee the dreaded B word. Thou shalt be prepared to have thine opinions ignored, realizing that those same opinions may be accepted as valid if later stated by a man. Thou shalt not gripe about this in the presence of men. Number 8, if thou dost not like the way things are going in the church, thou shalt blame the pastor. Most problems can be traced to the pastor. If the pastor is a saint, then blame the church council. If the church council is clean, then blame, quote, them. Keep it generic and undefined, they or some people I know. If thou cannot find anyone to blame, leave the church. Verily I say, a church where there is nobody to blame is not worth staying in. Number 9. If thou must confront, save thine energy, frustration, and irritation for the annual budget meeting. God gave annual budget meetings to bring congregational catharsis. And number 10, dear Christian sisters and brothers, in a holy nutshell, I say unto ye all, thou shalt not have conflict in the church. Conflict is a sign of sin. Yea, should conflict emerge, pray that God may convict and convert thine erring enemies. John Paul goes on in this book and says, quote, this list looks with humor at our behavior, but I believe these 10 commandments describe many people's experiences. Such patterns may even come too close for comfort. In part, that is because these commandments connect with some typical responses that form the underpinnings, not of what we say we believe, but of what we actually do with conflict. And Paul is calling us to do everything without grumbling or complaining. And you can put any word in there that we must do as the church for everything. So do Sunday mornings without complaining or arguing. Do conflict without complaining or arguing. It's a matter of attitude as we approach these opportunities that God puts before us. Another book that John Paul Lederach wrote, and maybe this one would even be more important for each of us to get our hands on if you don't, is called The Little Book of Conflict Transformation. And in here, John Paul defines what he's seeing as conflict transformation. And he says, conflict transformation is to envision and respond to the ebb and flow of social conflict as life-giving opportunities for creating constructive change processes that reduce violence and increase justice in direct interaction and social structures and respond to real life problems in human relationships. Now that's a rather long definition of conflict transformation. And what I see here as one of the key pieces of what John Paul Lederach is talking about is that conflict is an opportunity. It's something that happens in all relationships, all organizations, all families. It's an opportunity for life-giving understandings, working out in regards to how we respond to real life situations, problems, things that happen in our lives. And so do everything without complaining or arguing isn't about the fact that we all need to agree with one another, thank goodness, but what it is about is attempting to engage in relationships and conversations with one another so that those things that we disagree about, have different perspectives on, different ideas about, it's those things that we can still come together and talk about without grumbling or complaining, without getting upset with the other, without thinking, and you all are learning, this is a tough one for me, without thinking that I'm right and the other person is wrong. It's about engaging conversations so that we will continue to work out our salvation. In Philippians, Paul's calling us to this concept of koinonia, working together in our relationships, and that we need to continue to do that. And so in the points where there are things that we would rather not do, whatever that might be, in working out our salvation, there's a call to do it with an attitude that allows God to be working in and through us. And that's working out in how we engage with others. And to do that without grumbling or arguing. But look at the results. Look at the results. If we can follow through on maintaining these characteristics, Paul says that we're going to shine like stars in the sky. So if we can do the work, working out our salvation, doing that which God calls us to do, the results of that is that others will see us. Just like stars in the sky at night, that you can see those stars, people will be able to see us. And when they see us, we are reflecting, as we do this work that Paul calls us to, we are reflecting the glory of God. And I believe when it comes to trying to work out our salvation without grumbling or arguing, whether that's points of conflict, points of misunderstanding, maybe it's even what's hitting us now in regards that we can't get together physically. How are we doing not grumbling and complaining about that? And I'll confess to you, I've been grumbling. I've been doing some murmuring about that. But this understanding that, again, we're functioning out of desire to work out our salvation, to glorify God, and if we can engage even in these challenging times with what's going on, if we can engage that in such a way that we're not grumbling and complaining, that others see that, that we're shining like stars. And so the challenges in life become opportunities for us to really work at our attitude, our understanding, and working out our salvation. In Philippians 2, Paul gives some examples then of people who have been doing this because he puts himself there. He says, even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice in verse 17, be glad, rejoice. He's happy about that. And again, that being poured out is kind of that process of working out one's salvation. And he's willing to do that for the service and for the glory of God. It's interesting. He connects that back to last week when we were talking about Jesus and Jesus emptying himself. So perhaps he's referring to that kind of pouring out, or he may have been even referring to in the Old Testament law, the pouring out on the sacrifice. And then also he gives the examples of Timothy and Epaphroditus, men who are displaying some of those characteristics that he's talking about, humility, interests of others, and also just a genuine desire to do that which God calls us to. So the challenge for us, for me, is to continue to try and engage in the work that God calls me to, in the ministry, in the relationships, and do that in such a way that it does reflect God's glory. And in those challenging, difficult times, people will see that as we shine like stars in the universe. And sometimes, in the real difficult stuff of life, when others maybe will be overly frustrated, worrisome, that we would have a different attitude that people recognize.
and that people might even come and say, how is it, Bill, that you can have a smile on your face with all that you're going through, or whatever the circumstances might be? And that becomes that opportunity to be the star, to shine like a star in the universe. Let me pray for us. God, thanks for today. Thank you for being with us, even in the challenges of the things we face as we go through a time of physically distancing from one another for the safety and for functioning out of love for one another. God, I pray that you'd continue to help us to have good attitudes as we face those things in life. God, I thank you for technology, even though sometimes it challenges us, but it gives us opportunity to interact and stay connected with one another. God, help us to continue to work out our salvation in such a way that we do indeed shine like stars in the universe. For your glory, in your name I pray, amen. All right, I am back. I hope you can hear me okay. Good. I'm going to have a time of prayer. And in your bulletins, if you have that in front of you or going to download that, just remember those prayer requests that you find in the bulletin as we continue to pray for one another. Let's go to prayer. God, you are in this week. Know the work you're calling us to do, that we might be able to carry that out in such a way that it does indeed bring honor and glory to you. I think again of the verses, the prayer in Philippians 1, starting with verse 9, that our love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that we might be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Amen.
If you are a visitor joining us this morning and would like to connect with Bill or myself, please send us a little chat message, or you can go to our church website and find our cell phone numbers on there. We would love to connect with you and get acquainted more. Also, check your bulletins online for different announcements that we have made this week. The Pastoral Search Committee is asking for your continued prayers, but at this time there are no candidates that they're looking at. Also, we're looking for two people to be junior high leaders this next year. So take note of those announcements in your bulletin. And please stay on a little bit longer to be a part of a breakout room and visit with each other. I will leave you with a benediction. May the ground below and the air above, the sea around you be hallowed, filled with the three in one, God of life, Christ of love, Spirit of peace. Go in peace. Amen.